Grace to you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Morning. Happy Trinity Sunday. Welcome to guests who are traveling for this Memorial Weekend. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, there's that wonderful scene that's become a little fun in my family, where Harrison Ford is son to Sean Connery's character. And they're driving, and they have cause to stop and pause, and Harrison Ford's character blurts out, "Jesus Christ!" And then the Sean Connery wails and slaps on the face and says, "That's for blasphemy." It's really a fun thing. So our family like to call each other blasphemies. Blasphemers in my family, anyway. I am, on this Trinity Sunday, not here to slap anyone in the face and yell at you and call you blasphemers, even though that's exactly who we all are, really, in the end. We don't mean to be, and we'd rather not be, but I find it a rule that it's almost impossible not to be. It used to be a favorite game in seminary to go visit parishes on Sunday with a list, and as the preacher got up, when they were all done, we all decided which heresies they had espoused in their sermons. It's a long list. I handed out to you, for instance, such a list. On one side is the Nicene Creed we're all going to say immediately after the sermon. And on the other side are the definitions of, from A to S anyway, a variety of kind of Christian ancient heresies that are part of the church and aren't so ancient because they exist even to this day. This is for your meeting on the beach this summer. You will be sitting there in your beach chair under your umbrella with your sunglasses on and discussing the difference between docetism and arianism. And someone will walk by and say, "What do you mean?" And you'll be able to talk about the ancient Christological controversies. And you'll look really smart while you're doing it. Because you all are nothing if not smart. It is Trinity Sunday, and that is the Sunday when the church has decided, after Pentecost, Easter, and the whole life cycle of Christ, beginning back in Christmas, that we would have a Sunday set aside for an idea. It is in some way bound to defeat, because we don't worship idea, we worship an experience. And so we'll try to have some conversation, and I'm sorry it's going to go long. So Molly, you can call around too, okay? If you want. I mean, your dad's going to be calling around shortly. I want to get through with the first three centuries. So here we have this whole idea of language and word we use to describe God. And language is important. Language itself is metaphor. The words of sacred text in the Gospels and elsewhere in the Old and New Testament, we say, contain all things necessary for salvation. And that's all we say about them, because they are words. Those words impart meaning to us, and we have to decide what they mean. So words are important, but sitting there on the page, they have what value, unless you and I decide to encounter them. Words have meaning, comments. You know, there's that old joke, you know. Come on, let's eat, Grandma. And it's comma, it's let's eat grammar. And so periods come, words have meaning and purpose. So the early church had a long conversation about what those words meant. And so we discuss some of them today. And we will do so beginning with what I think is a summary of doctrine and heresy in three little words as an explanation. You know, a lot of people like to watch this whole Home Improvement shows, right? There's a couple channels devoted to it. You know, I think it started with this old house. You know, it's always well that they have the same format all over, every single one of them, although they're all over from all over the country and up in Canada. And it always lasts 2 minutes. I mean, you can skip the whole 4 to 58 minutes and just tune in for the last 2 minutes because it's called the reveal, right? So the family, whoever homeowners are, they get to be shown for the first time what the renovator contractor has done to their house. And it depends on what part of the country you're in, it's what you hear out of the homeowners when they first see the reveal. If it's from the south, they're going to say, "Oh my gosh," or "Oh my goodness." Carol and I were fond of saying, "Oh my star," Or she sometimes says, "Oh my Lord," when I did it properly. That's the bridge. Mostly she doesn't do the Lord thing. Mostly sorry. My grandma and aunt always used to say, "Oh my sorry." But if you're from the Northeast in these reveals, you're familiar with what the people say. "Oh my God." Right? "Oh my God." Is that blaspheming? I don't know. Let's discuss. Our bishop, Bishop Chip, does this wonderful thing. He was rector of Delray, Florida. He was quick when someone said, "Oh my God," he would say, "Finish the prayer." Something is kind of charming, isn't it? He'd say, "Oh my God, finish the prayer." That works. Or if you like said exclamation like Harrison Ford did, you could say, "Finish the prayer. Jesus Christ, I'm going to finish. What's going to happen to me? I don't know. Please help me." "Oh my God," could be go either way. It could go really good. "Oh my God, it's beautiful. Thank God for this beautiful scenery." Or, "Oh my God, can't be the hardest. Lord, help me." Finish the prayer. It's a lovely way to look at that saying that we take for granted. But I think in the view of the words, "Oh my God, you have the fullness of 2,000 years of Christian tradition, both the good and the bad, both the correct doctrine as history has decided it, and both the things we've gone off the rails." Oh my God. It begins with oh. 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 You have had an encounter with something greater than yourself. You bump into it. Oh. It could be Christmas Eve. Could be birth of a child. Could be the death of a loved one. Could be falling in love for the first time. Could be any number of things. There's an encounter of something greater than yourself and your incarnation as an inflection of being to say, "Oh, there's something greater than me." If you're an atheist, you're never going to have that experience because you're going to say, "Everything that I am and who I am is just a series of mechanical electrical connections and equations and organizations." But that's sort of almost as much faith. It takes more faith to believe in that. Ludicrous, I know that. Than it does to have an idea of a greater being. Philosophically, materialism is inept, and that's another conversation for another day. But when we have an encounter of graciousness, it has to do with the fact that you're a creature that has consciousness, a mind. You encounter something and wonder what it was. You encounter something greater than you, and it calls you to respond to it. Oh. And that's the beginning of theology, is an encounter. Theology is a big word, and you often have stumbled upon it in some years reading it, thinking about it, not getting very far. But theology is merely faith trying to understand itself. You had an encounter. It prompted you to respond to it, and then you started to think about it. Thinking about it is what theology is. So, we have to think about it, your faith, you and I. And a lot of people have thought a lot about it for a very long time. Oh my God. So it was about God. The encounter of the Christian in the Christian story we know full well. The beauty of creation, giving of free will, the misuse of will and freedom for our own benefit, the destruction of creation, and the abuse of one another. Leading to the call of God through law and the prophets, ultimately God's very self becoming one of us to show us what true faith, fidelity would look like, what love would be, what obedience to God would be, and his sacrifice to bring us always at one with the one who created us. This is the Christian story, and it's a story by which we have run off the rails. So hard to keep that story in the balance of it all. If you want to try, go talk to a good Jew. Describe how you're a monotheist. How do you believe in one God? How does that work? Here we're Trinity Sunday. You want to have a really interesting conversation. Try to define your faith as believing in one God. Well, who is this Jesus? How is he part of who God is? What is this Trinity? It sounds like three gods to me. And that was one of your early choices. Let's just have three gods. Hey, if you're growing up in the Greek Roman Empire, paganism with deities all over the place, one of the early Christian challenges was, how do we get to monotheism? And so the first controversies around who is this Jesus? fully human, fully divine. How did that work? And so many of the heresies you see are listed in the back of this thing to be named, always sort of wander too far in one direction. Jesus, really human, who became divine. Jesus, only divine, play acting to be a human being. You see, there's a certain cruelty in those heresies. It's called heresies, we'll discuss in a moment. I mean, the cruelty is, if Jesus only played a human being, then God has no clue. I mean, how is God related to who you are and your humanity? If Jesus was human who accomplished a perfect life in order to become God, we're all messed. We're in trouble. Because I don't know about you, but I failed the test already. I am never going to work my way into divinity. That ain't never going to happen. Not news to anyone in this room. So that balance of Jesus was fully human and fully divine. What a hard tightrope to walk. Especially when you want to push it to get into some kind of language that makes some sense. Then you have the nature of the Trinity. Three and one, one and three. Is it clover? Is it ice, water, and gas, steam? Is it three ropes of a three cords of a rope? Anything to get into physicality? Aron, artist in the parish of Hal Murray, has a three-sided Morbid script. Ask me later what that means. The challenge for all of us in the early church was that middle word, my. Oh my God. Oh my. Which is where we get our word heresy. You know, going through Middle French into Latin and Greek, or into a word that basically means the choice of person. Freedom. Freedom to make a personal choice. This is where I usually run off the road, is when I decide I know what's best. You know, I'm a good American. It's Memorial Weekend. Individual liberty and freedom, it's our thing, right? Freedom. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Read on. The only problem with that, freedom's a little bit overrated. My free will is slightly overrated in this context. Because a lot of the heresies have to do with how do you have free will? And how does that relate to a God who created you and wishes to redeem you? And what happens when you misuse your free will? Look, I have the freedom to drink as much as I want. Okay? And I use my free will regularly. But sometimes that free will could get somebody into trouble. You act out on your free will, you could be in nowhere. Free will is not all strapped up to it. You know, it's not about me, myself, and I. Jesus did not say, go up on a mountain, 19,341 feet, and you'll find God. Jesus did not say, go wandering around Round Valley Reservoir for a while, there you'll find me in the bushes. Or the beautiful flower. God did not say, you'll find me in the sunrise on the beach. Jesus did not say, take some drugs, drink a lot, and have a transcendental experience, and there you'll find him. Jesus said something quite more pedestrian than that. He said, when two or three are gathered together, I am in their midst. Now, clearly one has to have an individual encounter. Surely it's a crown of faith, but that individual encounter only makes sense in a community of two or three or more. I go off the rails when I think I'm on my own, and I'm sure I'm right. Every time, almost seamlessly. It is the community that grounds us and balances us. And over the centuries, the church has had a chance to look at these ideas and try to come up with a balance plan. My salvation is not of me and my will. I'm going to will myself into becoming part of who God is. But it's never going to happen. And that's a cruel, what a cruel thing that is. I mean, that's why I'm not into reincarnation. What a horrible idea. One life is way more than I want. imagine having to come back over and over and over again? What kind of God is that? I mean, with all due respect to my Hindu brothers and sisters who are into that kind of thing, I just find that the idea of this life is pretty good. And I can, God's grace can deal with me on one time around. And so for the church, the history of these ideas of going off the rails and bringing us back again over and over and over again, really is that sense of, oh, our God. And this is what orthodoxy is. As I mentioned before, Wikipedia is wrong when they define what orthodoxy means, because they only think orthodoxy is right thinking. It's got nothing to do with the word. You know, I know you all believe everything you read on the internet. But in this case, ortho comes from, you know, I'm going to get orthodox lately. Get your teeth straightened. That's what ortho means, straightening. Or orthopedia, getting straight teeth. And ortho is just means straight, aligned. And doxa comes from doxology. Doxa, glory. So for us, orthodoxy, as opposed to heresy, is proper worship. It's holy worship. It's right worship. So for me, with heresy is you all staring at a screen, watching a big production, sitting there like a bunch of schmeals as spectators. That's not right worship to me. I'm an Anglican. I think you should get up and move and come to communion and say something and feel something and say something back instead of sitting your pastor just like you're doing right now. So I'm going to end my rather heretical sermon by starting one person telling everyone else what to do. It's like Sean Connery slapping someone on the face. You know, last time. Not the point. The point is we together, working, having an encounter, experiencing who God is, trying to think about it, and trying to see what application it has in our daily living. Oh, our God. There are names and lists of names about how to get it wrong and how to get it right. How to get it right, we understand in our worship, the Nicene Creed. Not the perfect solution, words will always fail us, but it works for now. The lists that are all off the rails, I gave to you for your reading of the page. Oh, our God. Just let that percolate. Let that become your theology.